look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that'll be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
Welcome to you. Why don't I get you to go ahead and be seated? We want to welcome our visitors this morning. So thankful to have some new faces here and a lot of return visitors, and we're grateful for you as well. If you're a first-time visitor, one of our ushers is going to bring you a card, a little packet, if you will. If you'll take that packet with you, it's got our schedule in there, a church schedule, got cell number for me if you need anything, have any questions. But please fill out the card that's in there and drop it in the offering plate on your way out. That helps us out around here, kind of know where you're from, whether you're local or not. A couple of people want to mention for prayer. Dan Wright, of course, most of you know Dan's over in Baghdad, doing not military-wise, but doing contract work over there. He has got a really bad case of the flu and can't hardly get over it. And I don't know any worse place in the world to have the flu is away from your wife and family and in Baghdad. And so pray for him. And then Justin Guillory's in the hospital. I just found that out. Nothing too serious, but I'll keep you updated on that after I find something out. But with that being said, Tuesday is Veterans Day, a special time. Each time of year in our country, we recognize our veterans, and our country is where it is today from God's hand, we know, but also because of so many millions of people over the years who have been willing to serve, men and women, young and old, that have been willing to serve our country, and many have paid the ultimate price, and then many have just given their 4 years or 8 years or 10 years or whatever of serving our country. And so we appreciate all veterans across the land, but most especially the ones we know and love. And so right now, I'd just like, if you served in the military in any capacity, whether it be reserves or full-time military, would you just please stand right now and let us recognize you? I know there's a, yeah. Yeah. Great. That's it. Thank you. Yes, sir. Thank you for your service. Thank you, families that allowed your loved one to go and serve our country, and I know that's a big part of it as well. So welcome each and every veteran, and welcome our visitors, and let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then we'll turn it right back over to Brother David. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for bringing us to the house of God. We ask your blessings over the remainder of our song service, preaching service. It's been a good Bible study, Sunday school hour. Thank you for our veterans. Bless each and every one of them and their families. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
But this dream comes with a cost. And it's not preserved without self-sacrifice. Men and women who serve our country are not just soldiers. They are defenders of freedom. They are protectors of our rights to pursue happiness. We use words like honor, courage, and bravery to describe our veterans. They have taken turns standing guard over the dream that makes America so special. The freedom to live, love, and worship God is possible because of our veterans. This is what makes America so special and what makes our veterans heroes.
Amen.
Yeah.
we're grateful to live in such a great nation. Lord, I know that there's a lot of division and a lot of difficulties, but it's still the greatest nation on the face of the earth, and what a privilege it is to get to live here. God, I thank you for the men and women that are serving and have served in our nation's military. Lord, we know that some that we celebrate on Memorial Day has paid the ultimate price of giving their lives so that we can meet in a church like this today. God, we're grateful that these men that stood a while ago that served our nation, many of them maybe in some of the wars, God, we're grateful that you protected them, that you brought them home. God, I thank you for each one that is gathered here today. God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. I pray that you'd be with our pastor as he comes and opens the Word of God and preaches the message that you've laid upon his heart today. God, I pray that you'd use him in a mighty way. God, we sure do love you. We're grateful for all that you do for us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with us, please?
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever breathe. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
Trust in you alone, and I.
have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you once again for Sundays, a day you've given us, Lord, to get some rest, a day you've given us to be together as a family of God, Lord, in your house and to worship, time to be thankful and be refreshed. I thank you for those who are here, Lord, that are part of the church and already a part of this family, but Lord, we see new faces and we're glad, Lord, to have them here with us, and I pray that you'll bless them, and Lord, if they be somebody local, that they might find that this would be a good place for them in a church home. Father, as we go into your word, we ask God that you'll just guide my lips and my mind, give me clarity of speech and the ability to think through things that I'm saying, and to do a good job for you, Lord. I pray, God, that you'll bless the hearing of your people and bless the kids in the back as they're being taught. We thank you for each and every one of them. We ask, Heavenly Father, Lord, you'll be with those who are hurting. And God, we once again thank you for our veterans. Thank you, Lord, for those who are serving even right now who are enlisted by the thousands. Bless them and protect them. And again, Father, we could pray all day. There's so many things we could give thanks for, but time is at hand, and we're going to get into your word, so we ask your blessings now as we do so. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11, Matthew chapter 11. Right now, if you drive across the South Plains, you could probably look in just about any direction and see farmers in the field stripping cotton. It's a big industry in our region, and they're getting after it right now. And it amazes me the kind of equipment that is used today. It's just so intriguing to me. Today you have tractors that cost $300,000-$400,000, maybe more than that. I'm not sure. Strippers that cost around $1 million. It's just incredible. And we just come a very long way over the last several decades as far as the advancements with that equipment. I have a 1967 John Deere 4020 tractor that probably any farmer would have been proud to have had back in 1967. It would have been a very good tractor. It still is a very good tractor, but originally it would have cost right around $8,000 or $9,000, from what I could tell looking that up. And the thing about it is there's no application for that tractor now on any farm. I mean, they could find some little jobs for it to do, but it's just not up to snuff for what they have to do today. And so that's just six decades of advancement that we've seen in this type of equipment. But if we were to look back 2,000 years to a time in history when the Lord Jesus Christ walked this earth, how primitive would their farming methods have been then? Well, fortunately, history has a recording of that. And we're going to find in this particular text some of their methods alluded to. Fortunately, Jesus gives us a glimpse of what farming would have been like in those days. And so we looked at these verses, I know, last Sunday, and we talked about them in depth. But we're going to see a little bit something a little bit different this week about the invitation that Jesus gives. Beginning in verse 28, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." First of all, we're invited to come to Jesus for salvation. Then, once we're born again believers, we belong to him, we should come to him with our burdens. And you and I'm telling you, life can weigh you down. And sometimes the burdens that you and I carry can become so heavy, they can be crushing at times. And that's just a part of life. But the Lord wants to help us carry those burdens. And he invites us to come to him for that help. But I want you to notice the next invitation that he gives in verse 29. He says, "Take my yoke upon you." Take my yoke upon you. What is he referring to here when he speaks of a yoke? Well, I've taught about this times before, but perhaps there's someone here who has forgotten, or someone who has not yet learned or doesn't have an understanding of what a yoke is, okay? So I want you to look at the image on the screen right now that they put up there of a yoke. Yoke. There we go. We got a yoke. Okay, what you see here on the screen, that's a yoke, a wooden type harness that would be placed upon the neck of an oxen, and so that he could plow. It would be placed over his neck and then strapped to a cart or a wagon or a plow. It would be attached behind the animal and pulled by the animal. And the oxen would bear the burden of that load in his neck and in his shoulders by way of the yoke. Oxen were the tractors of the day, okay, in that time. And the yoke was what attached the tractor to the load. And a good, healthy ox would be expected to take that heavy load and pull it for hours and hours and hours in a day, and possibly every day of the week, just depending on what was needed. And that's a very fitting picture for you and I of our everyday life. Each and every one of us have a life to live. We each have burdens to bear. Those burdens vary from person to person. Young parents have particular burdens that others don't have. Teenagers, they face burdens that we adults don't face. Retired people who are aging rapidly, they have their own burdens. Middle-aged single people, maybe divorcees, they have a different set of burdens. So the possibilities are endless, and life will fill in the blanks, I promise you. And the truth of the matter is, there's no way around the weight of life. It's something that we all have to bear. Imagine an oxen that's yoked to a single bottom plow, which is just maybe a foot, 14 inches wide. It's to break up the ground, and perhaps he's got several acres ahead of him that has to be broken up, and he's pulling and pulling and pulling, pulling. The master's behind him, of course, and the plow doesn't change. Its weight is always the same. The conditions of the soil will change, and so there's a fluctuation in the burden because of that. But the thing you got to realize is the burden doesn't go away. It's there. And I'm sure for an oxen that could become very monotonous and very mundane. The scenery is still the same, and the routine hardly changes. But the yoke has to be borne, and on and on and on he goes, just putting one foot in the other. Isn't that kind of what we have to do sometimes? It gets mundane. Life gets boring. It gets monotonous. It gets difficult, and I'm not trying to paint a bleak picture because there's so many good things in life, but it's true. Things can be very, very monotonous. Maybe you find yourself in that situation right now. Maybe you're having to really bust your tail working to make a living. Maybe you're in school and you're striving to make your grades or whatever the case is, and you're wondering when you're going to get a break. And maybe you're looking ahead of you and you don't see a break coming. And I can't make you any promises to tell you when or how the changes will come into your life and how those burdens will change. I can't even do that for myself. But together we can discover in this text what Jesus offers each and every one of us when it comes to our burdens. I want you to notice verse 29. In the last part of the verse he says, "And ye shall find rest unto your souls." Who doesn't like a good rest? I certainly do. I don't like daylight savings time. I don't like the change that comes with that. I wish they wouldn't change it because in the summer months, the sun goes down very late. The later in the evening the sun goes down, the more I get done. And then when I get into the house, when we come into the house, and Trish is almost the same way. Of course, she doesn't work outside. But when we come into the house, it's almost bedtime. And we're tired, and so we sleep like babies. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, and that happens to be true. But now we have the time change, and I come into the house, and I have 4 hours to waste before it's time to go to sleep. What are you going to do with 4 hours, night after night after night? I don't like it. And when I do go to sleep, during these daylight savings time, my body is not tired, and so I don't sleep well. And that in itself becomes monotonous. It's not good rest. But I can tell you this, When Jesus offers you and I rest, you can believe it's going to be good rest. And nothing less. But here's what we have to recognize. The rest he offers you and I will only be experienced if we take his yoke upon us. First part of 29 says, take my yoke upon you. Now keep in mind that I'm talking to you this morning as a Christian, in relation to Christians. Last week we talked about coming to Christ for salvation, and we covered that subject. That's the first step, okay? But this involves the life of believers. I'm not going to mislead you into thinking that once you're saved, once you're a child of God, that life becomes a bed of roses, because it doesn't. The Christian life is great. There's so many blessings to it, not the least of which is the promise of heaven and eternal life, but also there's still burdens to bear in a Christian life. Life will still weigh upon us along the way. So this message that I'm giving you is not a health, wealth, and prosperity type message, but and I don't want you to leave here planning on going and starting cash the checks, because they might not be there, because it can be tough, even when you're following the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus is offering us a yoke. I want to share with you another picture. And what you see here is common. This is the most commonly used yoke in the ancient times. It yokes two oxen together. In other words, one oxen is not left to bear the burden alone, but he gets to bear it with another one. If we come to Jesus for salvation, he's very willing. We're yoking ourselves to him, if you will. He's very willing to do his part in carrying the burdens. Sure, we can get by without him. We can try to go through life and do it on our own, but we'll just barely get by, even as Christians. But if we will yoke ourselves to him, the burdens in life that's out there can become so much easier. Jesus says, let's face life together. Let's be yoked together. Let's bear these burdens together. That's what this invitation is all about in verse 29. So I want to share with you some of the advantages of being yoked to Jesus. The first advantage is the assistance that you receive. Life's burdens may not change because we're yoked to Jesus, but they become easier because he's helping us with them. You still have the same teenage burdens. You still have the same young parent burdens. You still may have the same, perhaps the same single parent burdens, the same old age burdens. The difference is not in the weight of the burden, but rather it's in the fact that Jesus is helping us bear it. Think about it. If an ox were daily pulling a cart that weighed 500 pounds, and suddenly another ox were added to it and yoked to it beside it, then with that assistance, the weight's going to be cut in half. Same burden, weighs the same way, but the other ox is bringing it along with you. Jesus wants to do the same thing for you and I. He wants to come alongside us and carry the weights that we face. He says in 1 Peter 5:7, casting your care upon him, for he careth for you. Bring whatever it is to him. We're invited to do so, and we will find that the weight of that burden is not nearly as bad. It'll become so much easier for us to bear because Jesus is helping us. The second advantage that we get from being yoked to Jesus is companionship. Life doesn't have to be lonely. You put two oxen in a yoke, and day after day, they will go down the same path, side by side, constantly together, continual companionship. And it's so much better than one oxen going it alone. We have a horse out at our place right now that she's a young filly. She belongs to Jordan. And the other day, she ended up being put in a pen that was a little distance from the other horses. And so she got up against that fence that was closest to where the other horses were, and she was just walking back and forth, pacing, because she didn't want to be alone. And I told Baylor, I said, go move her and put her in a pen where she's right up against some horses. And he did. And I wanted to do that because she was going to wear herself out and walk all her weight off because she was lonely. She didn't want to be alone. I don't want to be alone. Very few people want to be alone completely. I like some alone time, sure. But I don't want to be alone. But we don't have to be alone. Jesus says in Hebrews 13:5, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. I know a lot of widows or widowers who live in a household all by themselves, but they're never alone if they're Christians. Sometimes a teenager refuses to go along with the crowd and they seem to be left to themselves, but they're not alone. Sometimes a single parent may feel as though that they're the only adult, that they're raising these kids all by themselves, but they're not. If they're yoked to Jesus, they're not alone. Thirdly, to be yoked with Jesus makes us more productive Christians. An oxen can do a certain amount of weight, a certain amount of work alone. And you would think if you added another oxen that it would double the abilities of that oxen, but it doesn't. I read that when you yoke two oxen together, it more than doubles their production. I read where a strong ox could possibly pull 5,000 pounds if it was on a proper cart and the weight distributed right. He could pull by himself 5,000 pounds, but if you put two yoke of oxen on that same in the harness, they can pull 15,000 pounds. Obviously, those are extreme numbers, and a good master would never put his animals under those kind of loads for any extended period of time. But the principle is still true one way or another. When yoked to Jesus in service, we become much more fruitful. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. The closer we walk with Jesus, the more we get done for the kingdom of God. Without question, I know that God has often multiplied my sleep. I know that he's multiplied my energy and my time and my resources when I was doing his work. I've seen him do it too many times. The Bible says put, let me think which one I had. I'm going to pull it up in my Rolodex here. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. When I'm putting God's business first, yes, he will. He'll multiply my fruitfulness. Fourthly, another advantage you get when you yoke yourself to Jesus is he will keep us from falling. If an oxen were yoked to another oxen and it began to stumble, because the other two, because they're closely bound together, instead of going down, he could recover from that stumble simply because of the support of the other oxen standing attached to him. Jesus doesn't want us to fall. We're going to stumble, folks. I'll probably stumble before we get out of here today. We all stumble in some ways, okay? Jesus doesn't want us to fall. He wants to catch us and keep us from going down. So those are the four advantages I want to share with you. Now, I want you to notice in verse 29, the second part of the verse, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You know, I had some very foolish ideals about God when I was a young man. I just did. I before I met Jesus, I was very misguided in my thoughts about the Lord, and I thought, man, to serve him would be boring. I thought he was going to take all the fun out of life if I served him, and I would be bound to all these strict rules, and all of it would be very burdensome for me to try to walk and live according to his word. And I had all of this erroneous ideas about it. I discovered that it's just the opposite. It was my sins that kept me burdened. It was the lifestyle of a lost man that kept me shackled. I was in bondage to ways and habits and behaviors that delivered nothing but heartache and regret. Drunkenness never gave me freedom. It gave me freedom of expression in ways that land you in jail or in a fist fight or with a crying wife, or in freedom of expression in a way that would make you embarrassed the next day. Selfishness and pride never gave me any fulfillment. They just drug me down. Loose living and lust never gave me any satisfaction. It only left me unhealthily craving for more. It wasn't until I came to Jesus for salvation that I was relieved of those kind of bonds and recognized afterwards how wonderful it was to be out from under that bondage and come into under the yoke of Jesus Christ. I was wonderfully surprised at how liberating it was and how fulfilling it was to walk with Jesus and turn loose of all of that. Verse 30, he says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus has no desire to cramp our style or bring us into some stringent routine of do's and don'ts and yeses and no's. He wants to show us a new life that is pleasing to God, and it's a life that will be very satisfying to our souls. Amen. Folks, I've been a child of God for 37 years. I'm having the time of my life. And I don't just say that because I'm a preacher. I don't just say that because I'm amongst a bunch of Christians. I'm having the time of my life. I love Jesus. I love his word. I love his church. I love the path that he takes me down. Being yoked to him is the best thing that ever happened to me. But here's what happens too often. Too often, we don't give him a chance. Maybe somebody will come to Jesus for salvation and put their faith in him and be saved, but never experience the kind of fulfillment that I'm talking about, because we fight against his yoke. We don't want to let it. We don't want to yield. We don't want to submit to him. So rather than settling in and adjusting to a life under his leadership, we resist. And when you resist Jesus and you resist God's word, you're never going to find the peace and fulfillment. You can still be saved. You can still be going to heaven. You can still have fire insurance, so to speak, but there's no fulfillment. This was a common thing for a farmer working oxen. Once in a while, they would encounter an unruly oxen that would be yoked to a calm, quiet, steady, mild-tempered oxen. And so the unruly oxen would struggle against the yoke, and instead of yielding, he would, especially young ones, he would just fight against it. But the thing is the yoke beside him, he's steady, he's stable, he's not going anywhere, and so it's futile for that young ox to fight. It's futile to continue to resist. I got to tell you, friends, if we will let Jesus have a chance, just yield to him. Just give it a shot. He'll never disappoint. Amen. He will prove that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. How many Christians never experience the blessing and the fulfillment of a strong spiritual life because they keep struggling against the things of God? And you know what happens when we fight against the yoke? We end up with more disappointment and defeat than we ever would get if we were under the yoke and submitted, and all the victories that we would have. Jesus is not going to change for us, folks. As much as you might want him to, he's not going to change for us. He's the same today, forever and today, yesterday, today, and forever, the scripture says. He's solid. He's steady. He doesn't change. But you know what? We can change for him. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. He will allow us to come under that yoke and allow us to have more stability and keep us from falling. Allow us to have companionship. Allow us to become more fruitful. He can bring us under his yoke and give us a life that you never dreamed. I want to give you this last thought, and I'm done, and you guys can get ready. Notice the middle of verse 29. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Those three words, I'm telling you, friend, and you, as a friend and as your pastor, if you will listen to me, I'm giving you some sound advice. Those three words, "learn of me," are the key to finding rest under the yoke of Jesus. Folks, I've fallen short in my Christian life in so many ways. I'm amazed that God even fools with me. But something my wife and I did right when we first became Christians is we committed ourselves to the Word of God early on. I can't brag about that. I can't boast. I'm not intending for that to sound boastful. But we made a commitment. We were going to discover what God's Word said. And we began to read it, and we've been in it now for 37 years, and we will continue to be in it, and I continue to learn of him. We were faithful to church, and that's important. And the preaching and teaching at church was very beneficial. We were learning how to pray, and that was important. But hands down, the most impactful thing, the most impactful step that we took was getting in our Bibles systematically and learning of our Savior. You want assistance in life? You want companionship? You want to be more fruitful for the kingdom? You want stability? You want to be kept from falling? Then come under the yoke of Jesus. Say, "Jesus, I'm going to give you a shot to call the shots in my life." If you're already saved, that's already taken care of. That's the first step. The second step is saying, "All right, for a long time I've been doing it on my own. I've been fighting against your yoke, Jesus. Now I'm going to let you call the shots." I want to ask you to stand. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, we would love to help you discover who he is through salvation. But if you're here today and you hadn't been under the yoke and you want to get under the yoke, right now's the time to make a commitment. There's something about an altar. There's something about an invitation at the end of a worship service that says, "Hey, it's a great opportunity to make a choice and do business with God." So if he's spoken to you, you do so. Heads are bowed. Nobody's going to be looking around. You come.